respected God, in which they valued God, in which they trusted His words and said, I want to hear more of that, in which they felt His love kind of reverberating in their lives, right? Is that a good thing to imagine? Yeah, it'd be a beautiful world, wouldn't it be? Right? That's kind of the goal that God has had all along. And it's kind of frustrating when you wake up tomorrow or today and realize it didn't happen. People still don't respect each other. People still don't respect God. None of those things are kind of coming together. It would be very easy to simply be frustrated with the world in which we live. It'd be very easy to be angry, very easy to want to throw in the towel. Much more challenging to look at a world like that and say, you know what? Even though the world needs to change, if it's going to change, the change is going to start in me. Much harder to wake up looking at that and say, hey, if we're going to make some headway on this, then I'm going to need a new approach. I'm going to need a new pathway. I'm going to need a new language and a new framework of addressing these kinds of things. Because it's got to begin in me if we're going to find some change. And if change is really going to happen, it probably is also going to have... Steve, you can jump ahead because I'm already moving past the change one. If change is going to happen, it's probably also going to have a high personal risk. This is the story that God has, right? As God looks at the world around Him and finds a world that doesn't respect and care for the people that He made and doesn't respect and care for the one who established and formed it all, He said, if change is going to happen, it's going to happen because I change what I'm doing and I find a new pathway to engage in people. And I know that it's going to involve incredible personal risk. There's no way to make that change occur or to see that vision accomplished if I just simply sit back on my couch as God and say, hey, here's the plan, go and do it. Right? Hands are going to get dirty in this process. Treasure is going to be sacrificed. Ease and comfort and glory are going to become secondary. There's an incredible cost that goes through all of this. So as you hear this story that God engages in, you can begin at least this far end to say, wow, this doesn't sound all that appealing for God. He's got to change what He does. He has to change His approach. He has to change His language. He's got to sacrifice a lot. He has to get dirty. This is an incredible cost for God. But all of that cost is worthwhile because of the mission. Because of the purpose that God has. Because God looks out and sees all of those people that He's made and says, they are worth it to me. They're valuable to me. They're significant to me. I'm not letting them go. I will not leave them separated from me and from each other. I'm not going to have a world and tolerate it in which there is injustice, in which there is shame, in which there is fear, in which there's brokenness, in which there's shredded relationships around. And so God says, for the purpose of that mission, the reward is greater even than the cost. As high as that cost is, with the change and the sacrifice required of God, He says that the goal that I have in mind and what I see in front of me is worth achieving. And that goal is an insanely broad one, bigger than any mission anyone else has ever taken, because it embraces even those who are on the margins of life. We're used to having goals and embracing people that are rich, people that are beautiful, people that are powerful, people that are righteous, people that are religious. All of those fit in categories that we are used to saying, yeah, you have a place at the table, you're important, you're significant. But here is God and His story saying, everybody at the edge, everybody who's ignored, everybody who's left out isn't anymore, and they gain my attention. When Jesus came, they were always surprised at the people that got His attention. You're like, you've got it wrong, Jesus. You should be around the righteous. You should be around the powerful. If you want to get somewhere, hang out with the rich. Jesus said, you get the wrong idea. You don't call doctors to visit the healthy people. And do you feel good this last week? Yeah, so? Anyone that felt good see a doctor this last week? No, right? Doctors are for the sick. Jesus said, that's why I'm here. I got to spend some time with a homeless lady a week ago. She said a lot of things that were profound, but one of them was, she said, people see me, and then they see right past me. Nobody steps on me physically, They just do it in the other way, right? They see me enough to get around me, but they don't see me as a person. They don't see who I am. But that is not the pathway of God. He says, I see the ignored. I see the ones who are on the outs, the ones that are useless, that have no value for society, that won't accomplish anything, that won't change anything, can't produce anything, can't accomplish anything. Jesus says, I see you completely. I see those of you that stumble and have an honest heart but stumble again, and an honest heart but stumble again. And I see those of you that have an absolutely dishonest heart and don't even care. I see those of you that aren't understood. I see those of you that are mocked. I see those of you who are simply ordinary and not worthy of a second glance at all. Except you get one from Jesus, and a third, and ongoing. So that mission that he has is broad, and it reaches into the corner of every single individual, right? It is the serious stuff of life. It is the most serious. A mission that says, I want to remove fear, I want to remove depression, I want to remove ugliness, I want to remove all the things that separate and divide us and bring us back to that vision we had when we started. And to get there, because this spread is so broad, right? It includes all these people. He says, I'm not coming and saying, hey, there's so many of you. We've just got to squeeze you into this narrow gap. And so all of you need to learn how to talk the same way. You need to learn how to dress the same way. You need to learn how to move in the same pathways and like the same kinds of things. Instead of heading in that way, he says, what I'm going to do is adapt the way that I approach you so that it becomes individual and becomes unique to you. Individuality is no longer an obstacle, as though it's too complex to address a whole lot of different people, and we got to squeeze you into these categories. Oh, you like this kind of music, now you go to this one. You like this, then you fit over here. He doesn't do that at all. He says, I will find a way with new words and fresh images and fresh experiences in your life to communicate to your ears and to your heart, so that you can understand what it is that I'm sharing. And in the midst of all of that creativity and all the wide variety of ways that God wants to communicate, he still finds his way back to those core essentials that don't ever change. So there's a wide degree of freedom, a wide degree of creativity, and yet you always find those two mountains climbing their way back in there. They always show up. No matter where God goes, no matter what he does, they are there consistently. And that message with those essentials is repent. It doesn't ever change. But just when you get scared and frustrated and overwhelmed by that, he says, don't worry, hang on a second, because grace will completely surprise you. It isn't just repent and grace. It's like, no, grace is bigger and wilder than you've ever imagined. And just when you think you've gone far enough in your Christian life that you can draw a box around where grace is, God will rip the box to shreds and show you a grace that is bigger and bolder than you've ever imagined. It will show up in corners of your life that you had locked away. Those dark closets of shame you never want anyone to peek in. And whenever God pries the padlock off there, you find instead of your shame in there, grace streaming forth. In every arena of your life, it is the one that wins. It is the one that accomplishes. And this is that message, those essentials of God that never ever change. Yes, repent, because grace will surprise you. But in this story of God, we do not merely have a God who thinks of things in the future and who speaks and engages with people. We have a God of activity, who says, words alone are not enough, and so I will do, and I will boldly love you. This is probably the greatest risk that God takes. Not merely teaching a lot of good truths, but when he goes all out and says, here is my gift for you, but you are free to reject me. The price he pays is immense, and yet his whole mission can be shattered by one heart that says, I'm going to walk the other direction. You can reject everything that God does. And his greatest risk is saying, I have no strings attached to you. You can come to me or you can walk away. This is the story of God. It is written throughout Scripture. It is written in all of our lives. But it's not merely God's story. It is the story of you as well. You are his mission. I wish I had time this morning to pause in front of each one of you, to look you straight in the eyes, because Christ did that on the cross. He looked at you and said, you are worth this. I am doing this for you, right into your heart, into your life. If you were the only human being on the face of the earth, I would not change a single thing that I'm doing. You are the mission. And you are the marginalized. You are not the pretty. You are not the powerful. You are not the effective. You are not the productive ones. You are the weary, and you are the wounded, and you are the least, and you are the last. You are not chosen because you will do great things for God. You're at those margins, and he embraces you, and he includes you, and says, you have a place here with me. You get to be a part of all this. You are the one that he has adapted his message for. If you're here this morning, at some level in your life, you have heard God speak to you. And he spoke uniquely to you. It was music. It was a friend. It was an experience in your life. It was some unique experience or situation for you where you got it. And that was a God who said, I don't need you to fit into this pattern. I don't need you to fit into this one template. He says, I will find your heart uniquely. And maybe it was in a dark moment. Maybe it was in a beautiful one. Maybe it was surrounded by friends. Maybe it was absolutely alone. He says, I don't care. I will find you. And I will speak my message to your heart so that you can get it. You are the one that he adapts it for. And you are the one that he risks everything for. You can walk away. You can turn your back on everything God has done for you. Because he went all in on you. Every chip in front of him, he shoved into the center of that table. And he said, my bets are on this one thing. There is no plan B. There is no other option. I'm not reserving something, God says, for something else. Like, hey, if this whole earth thing blows up, I'll just make another planet take care of things. He says, you're it. You are the ones I'm doing this for. You're the ones I'm risking it for. And so this story of God is very intimately a story of you. You put your name right in there beside that, right? You are connected into that. We have found our way through Acts. This is our last Sunday kind of looking at that. And so we find that God's story is one that is intersected with all of those early Christians. The last one that we've followed the most closely, really since chapter 9, it's almost been exclusively about Paul. So a lot of these last weeks have just been, who is this guy Paul? We'll get a lot of his teaching later on, but this is where a lot of his life shows up. And what we find is a man who says, I have experienced the story of God. I have known it personally before I knew it theologically. Right? The one precedes the other. He says, I've lived this experience where you had to change and find a unique way to communicate to me. I know I was on the margins, as far away from you, attacking you and hating you as anyone could ever be. I know that you took great personal risks to pursue me and found the unique adaptive message to come into my heart with those core essentials. And I've been captivated by how deeply you love me. And at the cornerstone of Paul, then, is this heart that says, this story of God is the most beautiful story I've ever seen. I'd like you for a moment to think about the stories that you know. Leave aside the biblical ones for a moment, just so we don't have to go to the right answers or those things, and as attractive or not as they might be. So Bible's out of the picture for right now. All the other stories, they don't have to even be true ones, right? Nonfiction is a great thing. Movies that you've seen, books that you've read. Can you just let your imagination run for a moment? And if you were to live out one of those stories, some book, some movie, what would it be? Would it be a heroic story? Would it be a beautiful love story that captivates you? Can you think of one story you're like, I would want to be a part of that one? It just kind of fits me. And if you're safe enough, can you just turn to someone sitting next to you and say, hey, this is the story I'd love to be a part of. I have no power to make that happen, so it probably won't happen. But just invite you just to share that little bit with someone around you. I've always been fascinated by astronomy, so the chance to actually visit other stars would be amazing to me. So somewhere maybe in the Star Trek universe would be awesome. It's a little bit safer than the Star Wars universe. But as we think about those things, you get a sense of where Paul was. Paul was touched by this beautiful story so much, he said, I want to live that story. Everything that I've seen God do into my life, he said, that's what the story of my life ought to be. And so as we have read through Acts, what we've really seen is not only is this overlay, right? God lived his story onto Paul's life, and Paul just began to say, I want to live that same thing out. And all the way through, even those last chapters, we've seen him doing the same core things that happened in the story of God. Of being adaptive, of being bold, of finding people in the margins, of changing his message, all those kinds of things. Right? So the very end of the story of Acts doesn't end the story, right? It just says it goes on going. The very last verse reads like this. It says, boldly and without hindrance, he, that is Paul, preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my story's ongoing. God has touched me with this story, and it continues to be lived out. This is who I'm going to be. The boldness is caught in there. And then I just have to touch on this too. It says boldly and without what? Which is a fascinating statement because Paul is writing that from a house prison. Right? He's in a home and not allowed to go anywhere else because there's a Roman soldier that's chained to him. And that is, in Paul's understanding, what it means to live without hindrance. When the Holy Spirit is active in your life, the word hindrance no longer has much meaning for you. Will this be the story of beautiful Savior? Will we know the story of God personally, not just theologically? And I'm guessing that we can probably go through theologically and get it just about right. But that doesn't necessarily change us or motivate us to live the same story just because we know it. Does that story penetrate your heart? And do you look at it and say, if there's one story that we could live as a family together, let it be that one? Does your heart thrill at that idea of saying it whenever this building is gone, whenever this family dissipates and heads somewhere else, and all churches eventually come to that point, that we're able to say, following the Holy Spirit, in a world that is changing, with personal risk on a mission, including the marginalized and adapting our message and methods while holding firmly to the essentials we will boldly love. Every day in our lives, we write our story. One of the tragedies is that when you wake up in the morning, whatever your story was from yesterday, it's done, it's written in ink, you can't erase it, you can't change it, it's there. It's one of the hardest things to realize. But as much as every day has that sense of reality about it, that the day before is done, the book is closed, I cannot write anything else into March 18th. We realize that when March 19th shines on us, that we have a whole day in front of us, that we can write almost anything. And by God's grace, your story isn't over. And change is possible, and hope is possible. And we can be touched by new stories and say, that's the story that I want my life molded after. And that's where I want to move and ahead. See, maybe you can flip back to the one slide right before this. So just in case you didn't write those down, which isn't necessarily required, a lot of it is there. Hopefully you wrote the other ones down too. What I want to invite you to do for a moment right now is to look through those qualities in God's story that we went through. They're all kind of the underlying words that show up in there. They show up in Paul's story too. They show up in potentially our story. And I want to invite you prayerfully to come before God and say, is there one of those that this week I need to engage in? Maybe it's that I need to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit. Maybe it is that I need to recognize that the world is going to change and I have to be the one that changes. I'm letting go of asking it to change back to me, but I want to be the one that changes to find a new way to get to it. Maybe it is that I just need to measure that personal risk and say, God, I'm putting it on the table for you. I'm letting go of my retirement. I'm letting go of my finances. I'm letting go of my dreams and my future. All those things, I'm putting them out there for you. I will take risk on your behalf. Maybe it's a sense of the mission and remembering again, God, I'm going to remind myself this week of why I'm even doing this thing called church. Maybe it's the margins and say, God, open my eyes to the people I see and then see right past that are all around me in my life. I want to see them this week. Maybe it is, God, help me find a new way to speak about you that touches others' hearts, even if it sounds weird to my own ears. Remind me again what those essentials are, God, so those two mountains are firmly in my heart. Or maybe on that boldness, there is a doing aspect. It's not just talking, not just thinking. I want to boldly, sacrificially, actively love this week. Can you take a moment before God and find one area that you're like, God, here is a place that today I want the story of God to resonate in the story of Pete and the story of whoever you are. Take that moment before God now.